Pelican Publishing Company is proud to announce a recent release of two new holiday titles. The Littlest Cowboy's Christmas is a story by author Michael Chandler that recounts a special Christmas Eve that he and his young son spent with singer-songwriter John Denver, and The Preacher's Night Before Christmas, which is the latest book in our Night Before Christmas series. This story is about a pastor and his congregation consumed by their Christmas Eve pageant, who are reminded of the true meaning of Christmas. Both of these books, along with hundreds of others, are available online at ePelican.com, or you can simply call our toll-free number at 800-843-1724. Pelican Publishing, your Southern-friendly publishing house.
All right, folks, you're listening to a live program tonight here at Dixie Broadcasting. And we are very pleased to be bringing you another in a series of Pelican Pages segments here at Dixie Broadcasting. As many of our listeners know, back earlier this year, Pelican Publishing became one of the advertisers here at Dixie Broadcasting. And we're very excited about that because we feel like it's just a very natural fit for Dixie Broadcasting to be promoting Pelican Publishing. And, of course, Pelican Publishing is now helping us to get the Southern message out across the radio internet waves, of course. And so we're excited about teaming up together with Pelican. And tonight we have just a very special guest with us. We have the actual president of Pelican Publishing, Dr. Milburn Calhoun, with us. And we're going to interview him tonight, find out a little bit about how he became involved with Pelican, and also give us a little bit of an idea about what we might expect from Pelican in the next few years down the road. I do want to apologize as we begin the program tonight because I've had a cold for several days now and just in the process of getting over that. So, Dr. Calhoun, please forgive me if I have to have a coughing spell every once in a while.
Okay.
Folks, we do have Mr. Dr. Milburn Calhoun with us. He is the president, the publisher, and one of the co-owners of Pelican Publishing Company with us. And he also is a retired physician. He's also a lover of books, and as I understand it, has been for quite a number of years. And it is Dr. Calhoun and his family that have restored Pelican Publishing Company to the point that it is the premier Southern heritage publisher in America today, as well as the many other things that they publish as well. So without any other ado, Dr. Calhoun, thank you for being on the broadcast with us tonight.
It's good to be with you.
Well, Dr. Calhoun, I'd like to begin, if I could, by asking you to just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your family and how you became involved with Pelican Publishing. I know that was somewhere around 1970.
Yes, we bought Pelican in 1970. It sort of evolved. My life has evolved. I've been in love with books ever since I saw the first one when I was in the first grade. We didn't have books in our home, and so when I started school, then I was introduced to books. Later, I began collecting books, and my wife, when we were dating, joined me. A date might be a visit down to the Salvation Army or Goodwill to see what books we could find for 10 cents to add our collection. And so it just went from there. In 1961, after we were married, we became book scouts, finding rare books for rare book dealers. We would find rare books and sell them to the established dealers. And then we decided, well, we might as well sell them for our own account. So we founded Bayou Books and sold books mail order, out-of-print books, rare books.
Now, about what year was it that you founded Bayou Books?
1961.
All right.
And then in 69, we decided to open Bayou Books. It was just mail order then, and we decided to open the bookstore, and so we did open Bayou Bookstore 1969. Pretty soon we began to think about the publishing, because there were a lot of times people were looking for books that were out of print. They were very difficult to find in those days. We didn't have the internet, so you just had to do everything by hand, keep cards and lists, and go through them of what people wanted. And so we decided we would found a publishing company in 2 or 3 years and begin with reprints. But in 1970, when we went to buy our Christmas books from Pelican Publishing, a local company, they said they were closing their doors. They were bankrupt and they were going out of business. And the secretary says, "Why don't you buy Pelican?" Well, we went home, thought about it, and that's what we did. We bought Pelican. And it was a bankrupt company at the time. Only had 22 books on its list and had 35 customers. So we decided that we would put our stamp on it and build a major publisher, in fact, a worldwide publisher, and we have reached that goal.
Well, now, Dr. Calhoun, I know that Pelican had actually been around for quite some time. Can you give us just a little bit of an idea of how long Pelican had already been in existence and maybe some of the major works it had published previous to that?
Yes, it was founded in 1926 by Stuart Landry. And Stuart was an old-time, that was an old-time New Orleans family, and he was in the aristocracy, so to speak, of New Orleans, member of the Mystic Crew of Comus, the Boston Club, and all the other clubs that the old-timers belonged to. And he had wanted to publish since he was a young man. He had the files showed that he, as early as 1904 or 5, he had thought about the Great Southern Publishing Company. That's what he had thought about naming it. But when he did finally found it in 1926, with the literary editor of the Times-Picayune as a silent partner, they met where all the book lovers met, at the Pelican Bookshop down in the French Quarter. And that was a time of a lot of ferment in the French Quarter, and when you had Hemingway and a lot of the other Hamilton, Basso, and some of the famous writers in Louisiana, in the country, were living in the Quarter then. It was sort of the mecca for writers. And the first book that he published was a book called Sherwood Anderson and Other Famous Creoles. It was a joke on Sherwood Anderson, who was the chairman of the English department at Tulane at the time. And he didn't like the joke. Faulkner and William Spratling were the editors of that little poem. And I understand he never spoke to Faulkner after that time.
Uh-oh.
So we had a pretty distinguished beginning, if you think about Faulkner as the first book published by Pelican. That was fairly distinguished. So he was a very good editor and the world's worst businessman. And he ran Pelican for 40 years, I guess. And probably the best-selling book that he ever published was Whither Solid South. And in 1947, he published this book. It's written by the Law Librarian of Congress. And in essence, what it said was, if the South continues to vote blindly Democratic, then they deserve anything they get. Strom Thurmond read the book and said, "I'm going to do something about it." So he ran for president on the state's rights ticket in 1948. And the South has never been solidly Democratic since that time.
Well, that certainly is so.
So it was quite a an event, the publication. But he didn't have any money. And we look in the files, and people are clamoring for copies, and he's printing them 200 at a time.
Oh, me.
That's all he can afford.
Wow.
So, but anyway, he did do a good foundation. We have put a lot of those books that he edited back in print since that time. He did local history, and he did some Civil War history. He did the Battle of Liberty Place, which was the event that overthrew the Carpetbaggers in New Orleans. And we have put that back in print. He did Encamp and Battle with the Washington Artillery, a history of the unit, the famous Washington Artillery in the Civil War. And he, quite a number of other books that he did. And so when he died in 1966, and he was a very conservative man, his widow told me that he was a 19th century man living in the 20th century. when he died, they sold the company to Hodding Carter. And Hodding changed the editorial thrust completely to a very liberal agenda.
Hmm.
But he really didn't manage too well with it, and in about 4 years the company was all ready for bankruptcy. And so we bought it then from Hodding and Betty Carter.
Well, now,
and we had our own idea about what we wanted to do with it.
And I take it that the idea that you had for what you'd like Pelican to be was very similar, apparently, to what Mr. Landry's original intent for the publishing house was.
Well, that's true. We really have carried on pretty much in his tradition.
And so if I caught what you said correctly a few minutes ago, he actually considered using the name the Great Southern Publishing House. Is that right?
Yes, that's what he was thinking when he was a young man. But when he named the company, he named it Pelican after the Pelican Bookshop where they all met.
Right. Well, Dr. Calhoun, I would have to say if there is a great Southern publishing house in America today, it definitely is Pelican. And folks, you're listening to an interview here at Dixie Broadcasting, a very special Pelican Pages segment with Dr. Milburn Calhoun, who is the president of Pelican Publishing. And we're going to be back in just a few minutes, and we're going to continue with the interview here and find out a little bit more about some of the history of Pelican Publishing, and also find out about some things that are maybe in the works for Pelican down the road too. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Take a break, get something to drink, and then get right back to your seat.
But do, for the Lord's sake, don't fling me in that briar patch.
Now, offered in audio format for the first time ever, you can own all your favorite Uncle Remus tales, including the wonderful Tar Baby story. Please visit Dixie Audio at www.dixieaudio.com. That's www.dixieaudio.com.
Bread and bone in a briar patch.
By now in New York City, there's snow on the ground. And out in California, the sunshine's falling down. And maybe down in Memphis, Graceland's all in light. And in Atlanta, Georgia, the
there's peace on earth tonight. Christmas in Dixie, it's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie. In Motown, the city's on the move. In Jackson, Mississippi, to Charlotte, Carolina, and all across the nation, it's a peaceful Christmas time. Christmas in Dixie, it's snowing in the pines. Merry Christmas from Dixie to everyone tonight. And from Fort Payne, Alabama,
God bless y'all.
We love you.
Happy New Year.
Good night.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas tonight.
And folks, that was Alabama singing Christmas in Dixie. That's one of the most requested Christmas songs that we have around Dixie Broadcasting this time of the year. We appreciate you joining us tonight on the broadcast. We have a special Pelican Pages segment tonight, and we are joined in the studio via the telephone tonight with Dr. Milburn Calhoun, who is the president of Pelican Publishing, one of our sponsors here at Dixie Broadcasting, and president of, I suppose, the premier Southern publishing house in America today. And so, Dr. Calhoun, thank you again for being on with us tonight. Dr. Calhoun, we were talking in the break about the fact that when Mr. Landry founded Pelican Publishing originally, obviously he wanted there to be a significant Southern publishing house, and that's why he had, as you said, mused over the possibility of even naming it the Great Southern Publishing Company before he chose the name Pelican. That dates all the way back to the early 1900s. Can you give us a feel for why you think he was even having those thoughts at that time, and what you think his early vision was for the company?
Well, I think as a young man, he wanted to publish. He was very interested in ideas, and he saw the need to have a Southern voice, because those voices were extinguished, of course, with the destruction of the Civil War. There were publishing houses in New Orleans, Mobile, Charleston, and Richmond, and other places. Nashville was quite a center of publishing even then. As you know, when the Yankees came to Nashville, they found the Bible being printed there, and so they destroyed that type immediately. They saw that as quite a danger to them, I guess.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can understand why the Yankee Army would view the Bible as being a danger to them.
Yeah, but that was one of their first acts when they took Nashville. I think he could see that, and of course, and when he was young, he didn't have the money at all. He never had enough capital to do what he wanted to do, but he was planning all the time. And then in 1926, with the, I guess that was probably the best economy they had seen in the South up to that time, he did start the company.
Now, how does Mr. Landry's early vision for Pelican relate to your own vision for Pelican?
Well, he may have had a longer-range vision. When we started, we were just trying to get stay afloat in the beginning. When we took over, the sales, I believe, for the first month were $200, and we said, we've got to do something fast. So with the brashness of the beginner, we decided, well, what could we come up with that we could do quickly and make a lot of money on? So Spiro Agnew was going around the country making speeches, and the papers were reporting how chagrined all the reporters were when they heard it, but they never told us what he said.
Hmm.
So I wrote a note on one of my prescription pads to my brother, who had agreed to be our editor, and said, don't you think people would like to know what Spiro is saying? He said, yes. So we got busy to get copies of his speeches, which his office denied, but we had other sources, so we were able to get copies of the speeches. They are in the public domain. And we set about deciding on someone to write the foreword for the book. So we're having a meeting, and we're deciding between John Wayne and Ronald Reagan and Al Capp. Well, Al Capp was really riding high then, and so we picked Al Capp to do the foreword. And they nominated me to go up and ask him to write the foreword. My father, who was visiting, said, you don't know any of these people. How are you going to get them to do this, you know? So I planned a visit, went to Washington, D.C., got my ticket to Boston, called up Al Capp and told him, I have a ticket to Boston and I'd like to come up and talk to you about this. And he says, oh, don't do that. Just send a copy of the book. And I thought, well, boy, that'll be the end of that. So
yeah.
I insisted. Finally, I read to him the dedication of the book, which my brother had written. It was a very masterful dedication. And he said, when did you say you could be up? And I told him, so I went up and met with him. And it was just like walking into a scene in Little Abner, because I had to go up the elevator. He was on the second floor. I saw my first hippies. I was down on the street that Harvard is on. I can't think of the name of that street right now. But, man, that was the grungiest-looking bunch of people I'd ever seen, and now I know why I was on the second floor barricaded. And when I got up, well, Millie, the secretary, was there, and, of course, I recognized her from the comic strip. And I met with him, told him what I wanted, and he took a look at the manuscript, and he said, I'll do it. And so he did the foreword for our first book. So we sold 10,000 copies in about 6 months, I guess, and got the company on a keel, you know, a beginning anyway.
Great.
I was able to tell him something, but I wasn't going to tell him. I said, now I'll tell you about this that I wouldn't tell you. When I was in a senior in high school, we were studying Jonathan Swift and talking about satire. And I told the English teacher, this is the greatest satirist of this time. I said, he just works in a different medium from Swift. Well, she was really scandalized about that. but he was quite pleased when I was able to tell him that.
That's great.
And I was quite shocked because he was a little bitty wizened fella and all crippled up, something terrible. I don't know whether you've ever seen him on TV or not.
No.
But he was run over by a streetcar when he was just a boy.
Wow.
And so he was terribly crippled. But he sure was a great cartoonist.
No.
So we were off to a good start there. And in fact, I thought, boy, this is pretty easy, because the Republican National Committee called up and wanted to buy 25,000 copies.
Wow.
And it said, what's the best discount you can do? Well, I didn't know anything about publishing, you know. So I said, 50%, you know. We would sure do better than that today on 25,000. But they finally agreed to it, and then they changed their mind and called me back and said, we decided to go with a record. And that's a story for another day. If you ever have me on again, you can ask, and I'll tell you the story on that one. We've just had some wonderful events and things happen, just very interesting stories all through the career of Pelican.
Well, I'm making a note of that, so we will definitely have you back on, and we'll have to find out about that story. Now, I know that you've had a number of other authors on with Pelican. You want to mention the ones that you think are maybe the major authors or titles that you have had at Pelican in your time there with Pelican that you think are maybe the most influential for the company?
Well, you know, I'm a great reader of history. And in reading the history of major publishing houses, everyone had the big book early in the life of the company, and I'm sort of thinking about us as the rebirth of Pelican, so I think of mm-hmm. as our tenure at Pelican, which, by the way, is now we're in our 36th year, soon to be the 37th year.
Well, congratulations.
So I've been at it a pretty good while. The most important one that we have done was Zig Ziglar's first book. And my printer said to me when we were visiting, he said, I was telling him the kind of books I wanted to publish. And we invented the crossover book that you sell in the religious market and the secular market.
Yes, sir.
I saw a great need for that, because they were both isolated from each other when we began publishing. I was describing that, and we had actually published the first book in that series called Patches of Joy. And the printer was printing that one up, and he said, well, I'm printing a book for a fellow over in Dallas who can't find a publisher, and said the name of it is See You at the Top. And I said, we'd take that book side unseen. I said, that's about the greatest title I've ever heard.
Isn't it?
And, yeah. So I said, well, ask him if he wants to send it to us to see about publishing. And so he did, and I met with him, and we got together. And we published Zig's first book, but I had read it in the meantime, and I read the whole thing one evening. I just kept reading till I got to the end. That was the greatest thing I had ever read. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to build a company on this book right here, because every major publisher has his big book early in the life of it. You know, the one for Simon & Schuster was How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Is that right?
And when they started printing that book, they had the old hot metal presses in those days, and they just had to run those continuously to print enough books to keep the supply of what people wanted. So we have sold about 1.7 million of that one in hardcover.
Wow.
We had some arguments with the author. He wanted to sell paperback rights, and we said no. This book needs to be in hardcover, and we're going to keep it in hardcover. And we got some really big offers to sell paperback rights, but we passed those up. And
well, I don't know too many
salespeople.
When I met
with him here, the last time he came to New Orleans for a meeting, we had dinner, and he said, well, you were right. So I was glad to hear that.
Well, I don't know too many salespeople who have not read Zig Ziglar's See You at the Top book.
Right. I mean, if you're serious and going to be a salesman, you have got to read that book.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And we have also sold more foreign rights on that title than any other title.
Wow.
And Zig's just a terrific fella, too.
Well,
so
now,
that was a real plus. In the one that is certainly among the top is The South Was Right, and that's by the Kennedy brothers. And most of your readers, I think, have read that one.
I think most of our listeners at Dixie Broadcasting have at least heard of it, if not read it themselves.
Well, if they haven't read it, they need to get it and read it.
They certainly
do. Because it is the best explanation of our Southern heritage that I've seen. And that was another one that when I heard the title, I said, boy, that's one we want, because it has that perfect title.
Well, Dr. Calhoun, a little over 10 years ago, I found what I thought must be the most curious book in the entire world, sitting on the shelf of a little book that wasn't even a bookstore, sitting on the shelf, and I picked it up, bought it, and was out of town. I drove all the way home that evening and got home, and it was The South Was Right by the Kennedy Brothers. I sat down that evening and read it way into the early hours of the next morning, just couldn't put it down. Because I had actually found someone else in the world that was also proud to be Southern. And not only that, but they had actually written a book about it.
And, right. They were unapologetic.
And, you know, I just knew that that must be the only copy of that book in the world. And come to find out, even though I had driven a couple of hours before I actually ran into it, I could have got it right across the street at the bookstore. Now, I know you have to have sold quite a few copies of The South Was Right.
Yes, it's way over 100,000. It's in 11 printings.
Wow.
I don't know exactly how many. I was looking in the book, and we do have that sometime in the catalog, and they didn't have that. I don't really know the number, but it's way up there.
That's a lot of copies of The South Was Right.
And we reprinted about once a year now. For a while, we were printing it two or three times a year, but it was still. And the book's been out, like you say, 10 or 12 years, I guess. I can't remember exactly how long it has been out.
Well, what we need is for about 1 million more Southerners to buy a copy of that book from you.
Well, they certainly need to. Anybody who is serious about being a Southern needs to have that book in his library. It is just absolutely a wonderful book.
And now the Kennedy brothers have become very prolific writers since then, too, with you.
Yes. I just took a copy of their The Myth of American Slavery to the lady who runs the English cemetery in Florence, Italy.
Wow.
She is developing a library on blacks in the South, and that's her particular interest. She's a Elizabeth Barrett Browning scholar, and she runs the cemetery, but she also has a big scholar's library at the caretaker's house there. And I got to know her while I was over there. And so I took her a copy of that one and told her that's the real story right there.
That's great. Now, what other types of books, what other themes of books does Pelican publish other than Southern-themed books?
Well, I have to tell you about another Southern book.
Okay.
That I am tremendously proud of, and it just might not have been. I always think in terms, would this book have been published if we didn't do it, you know?
Right.
And this was I'm trying to get the right, it It's a long title. Weep Not for Me, Dear Mother, by Elizabeth Whitley Robertson. Have you read that one?
I have. It's been several years ago, but I have.
Yes. Well, and I don't know whether you know the story about how it came to be published. And if you don't, I'll tell it for everybody, because everybody doesn't know it anyway, even though you might know it.
I would love to hear it.
But there was a lady walking along the street in Atlanta a number of years ago, and she just happened to glance down at the trash on the sidewalk and saw some yellow envelopes. And she pulled one out and looked at it, and it was a letter from a Civil War soldier. And so she gathered them up, and there were something like 100 of them.
Mm.
And she took them home, and she didn't quite know what to do with them. So when the kid had show and tell at school, she sent them over, and he showed them at school. And then they moved to North Carolina, and they were talking about it over the fence with a lady, her neighbor. And she said, "Oh, you need to take that to Elizabeth Robertson or to college." Said, "She'll know what to do with it." Well, she took the letters, annotated them, and that resulted in the book. And this is a book about the soul of the Southern soldier. If you want to know what kind of people your ancestors were and those who served in that war, then you read that book, because it just, every page you see the character and the whole being of that soldier revealed. It is so good that it's been chosen for that for the program that they have now in the national parks. The Civil War parks, they
yes.
have the voices of soldiers that engaged in the battle there.
Mm.
And it's in two different battle sites. The quotations from and the voice from this soldier are there. She found the little Baptist church that he worshipped in outside of Atlanta, and the graveyard where he was buried. And he had asked for a simple stone to mark his grave, and there was no stone. So the Sons of the Confederate Volunteers had a ceremony, erected a stone, and then it turned out they were going to tear down his house to widen the highway. And they got a campaign up, and we were able to move the house next to the church and cemetery. So all of that was saved as a result of Elizabeth Robertson's book. And all because this lady just picked up these letters that had been thrown away in the trash in Atlanta.
That's amazing. Folks, you're listening to a special Pelican Pages segment here at Dixie Broadcasting. We're actually privileged tonight to have with us Dr. Milburn Calhoun, who is the president of Pelican Publishing, the premier Southern publishing house in the country today. And in just a few minutes, we're going to come back with Dr. Calhoun for a final segment and find out a few more things maybe about Pelican and really just talk about why Pelican is so important to the Southern movement today and to your Southern heritage. So don't go anywhere, folks. And by the way, if you're interested in looking at any of these books that Pelican has to offer, you can find their online store very easily by going to epelican.com. And there's also a link on the station's website at Dixie Broadcasting where you can go and you can actually listen to the interviews with some of the other Pelican Pages authors that we've had on the program. And you can listen to the interviews and actually find direct links straight to their books. So go to DixieBroadcasting.com for that, or go to ePelican.com to browse through the online store there at Pelican Publishing. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back with Dr. Calhoun in just a moment.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh my, what a wonderful
You can own the classic Disney film that the Disney Corporation does not want you to know exists. This classic 1946 Disney cartoon is only available from one place. Go to www.bannedfilms.com. That is www.bannedfilms.com. We also carry a tremendous wartime diary, Shirley Temple's Littlest Rebel, and Song of the South memorabilia. Remember, that is www.bannedfilms.com. We now offer the unabridged tales of Uncle Remus in audio format on CD, along with Gone with the Wind and other works of Joel Chandler Harris and other Southern classics in audio format. Go to www.bannedfilms.com. That is www.bannedfilms.com.
Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity.
Pelican Publishing Company is proud to announce a recent release of two new holiday titles. The Littlest Cowboy's Christmas is a story by author Michael Chandler that recounts a special Christmas Eve that he and his young son spent with singer-songwriter John Denver, and The Preacher's Night Before Christmas, which is the latest book in our Night Before Christmas series. This story is about a pastor and his congregation consumed by their Christmas Eve pageant, who are reminded of the true meaning of Christmas. Both of these books, along with hundreds of others, are available online at ePelican.com, or you can simply call our toll-free number at 800-843-1724. Pelican Publishing, your Southern-friendly publishing house.
All right, welcome back after a very short break here at Dixie Broadcasting, and we are back with Dr. Calhoun from Pelican Publishing. Dr. Calhoun, we were talking about, I had asked you about maybe some of the other themes of books that Pelican publishes other than Southern history and Southern heritage. You want to just kind of take that and run with it where you will?
Okay. One of our big sections are children's books. We do about 25% of the books that we publish now are children's books, and that all started with James Rice and Cajun Night Before Christmas. Cajun was a pejorative word until Pelican published this book, and it was an instant bestseller, and we sold about 700,000
wow.
or 800,000 in hardcover now, and it's just a delightful picture of the culture of Cajun people, and people have we've gotten in a plays done on it, and I even had a musical done on it. We have a display out at the celebration in the Oaks here in New Orleans, and we have coloring books and tapes, and we've had plates and glasses and all kinds of things. So it's just an institution, Cajun Night, and that developed our children's category, and we have done all types of children's books. I have a good one coming up in the spring. Jim Limber Davis, written by an SCV member up in Monroe, Louisiana, and it's about the little black child that Jefferson Davis adopted during the Civil War, and he lived in the Confederate White House in Richmond.
And that's certainly not a story you're going to hear in your public school textbook.
I imagine most people don't know anything about it. Mrs. Davis saw him being abused by his owner on the streets, and she took him then to the Confederate White House and adopted him. But after the war, in the chaos, he was lost for a while, and the story, you've got to read the story. I won't give it away, but it is a fantastic story. And we really don't know the end of the story. We know up to close to the end, but we don't know the end of the story.
Well, you've already piqued my
curiosity.
Yeah, you've already piqued my curiosity. I'll definitely have to get a copy of that one now.
We do cookbooks. Being in New Orleans, we started doing cookbooks, and so we do a lot of cookbooks every year, and they're all just big sellers. I mean, people love cookbooks, you know. So we do several cookbooks, and we've done cookbooks for most of the major restaurants in New Orleans.
Now, you've even done one for Justin Wilson, haven't you?
Yes, Justin Wilson came to us in 73, and he had one cookbook, and Justin said, I'm tired. He had done that one himself, and he said, I'm tired of shipping books out and collecting for them and all. So we did, I think, five or six cookbooks with Justin. And, of course, there's the rest of that story. Justin remarried, and his wife persuaded him to take his books elsewhere. So that was, he came back after he broke up and said he was sorry, you know, that happened. And we ended up doing one additional book with him after all that. But it kind of messed up our relationship.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But we've sold an awful lot of them. At one time, we were selling up to 2,000 a month, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
When he had his first TV program. There were not many people with food shows on at that time. It was quite a novelty. And I mean, the orders just came from everywhere. So we do that, and of course, history. We talked about Civil War history is always a big item for us, and then the other kinds of history, biography, and then art and architecture. I'm very interested in architecture, and so we've done quite a few books on architecture.
And now, most of these books that Pelican has put out since the time that it's been under your care, Dr. Calhoun, these are, even these books that are coming out that are not history books per se, they all are something somehow related to our regional culture here in the South, wouldn't you say?
To a large extent, some are really very general books, and so now, I mean, some of our authors are elsewhere, and especially one other category I didn't talk about, I had mentioned Zig Ziglar, but that gives us a big business and motivational and self-help presence. And so those authors come from all over the world, and
okay.
I would say they're not necessarily Southern.
Right, okay.
They might be from Australia, they might be from Britain. They can be from almost anywhere, you know. Since it's not tied to the South, so
sure.
We do some books, but we're very firmly planted in the South. And when we started, the people give you advice, and they said, "I said we're going to build a major publisher that's going to be nationwide and then worldwide." And they said, "Oh, well, you got to be in New York City then." And I said, no, we're not going to be in New York City. We're going to be in New Orleans. And I went up to see Ingram, and they were just beginning their operation. And I was given advice there. They said, you're in exactly the right spot to do what you want to do. And I really liked that encouragement, and so we have grown together through the years, and Ingram is the biggest distributor of books in the United States, as you know.
Well, one of the things that you said earlier in the interview, Dr. Calhoun, was that if Pelican wasn't around, a number of the titles that you do publish wouldn't have a home. And that really is the thing that makes Pelican so important, especially as a Southern publishing house, because Pelican really is the only major Southern publishing house that is in existence. And I understand that there are a lot of battles that you have to deal with because of not being in a New York or a Boston location. But certainly Pelican if it wasn't for Pelican, a number of these titles that are so valuable, especially to the Southern Heritage Movement itself, wouldn't be around. And is there anything that you'd like to say about that, or why that's important to you personally, Dr. Calhoun?
Well, it's important because one of my major understandings of the way life is probably 50 years old now, and that is most of what people know ain't so, to put it charitably. And so what we try to do is to show what is so. And that's what we like to do. When I took the myth of American slavery out to Los Angeles, the black school teachers descended on our booth. And I said, well, wait a minute now. You hadn't read the book, so read what it has to say.
Uh-huh.
I said, slavery was an American problem, not a Southern problem. And people get that all mixed up, you know.
That's right.
I said, and we put on that cover, and I don't know whether you noticed it or not, we put an American flag on the cover.
Right.
Because slavery existed under the American flag for, 90 years?
That's right.
Or 100 years, almost. But at least 90 years, and it existed under the Southern flag for 4 years. So we really have to look at things in perspective. We have just published a book, by the way, on global warming on the other side, and it is really going great guns. We've had 2 printings now in about the last 4 months, I guess. And so... obviously, there are just a lot of these things that people take as gospel that is just not so.
Well, Pelican is certainly doing a great job for us in helping to get the truth out there because, like I said earlier, for many of us, myself included, our first introduction to the truth about a number of these things was when we picked up a Pelican book. And Dr. Calhoun, I just want to personally thank you very much for the years of sacrifice that you and your family have put into Pelican Publishing. I know that Pelican is a part of your family now because of
all
that you've
really
put
is.
Into
my
it.
My daughter, my son, my wife, we've all, my brother, we've all been involved in it at one time or another. There are just many issues now that we need to address in the country that aren't being addressed. So that gives us plenty of things to publish, and we just have to have people send the right manuscripts in, you know.
Well,
we're certainly dependent on that.
That's right. And I know that Pelican, in the time with your family, has been through a number of things. You've been through the building burning down back in, I think, 97, and then the Hurricane Katrina came through just a little over a year ago. But it sounds like Pelican is alive and doing very well and growing.
Well, both of those were tremendous blows, but the employees rallied around on the first one, and we met. They did the work in the home and all this until we... found a place to lay our head, you know, so to speak. And then in this one, we lost one-third of our staff, but we rehired, and we have absolutely the best staff we've ever had right now. So both have been real blows, and you really, it does take some recovery time. We were just getting over the fire real good when this happened. And it's going to take a while to get over this, but we've gotten the major bases covered, and the outpouring this time from the industry was just tremendous in helping us. They just helped us in every way that they could.
That's great. Well, we in the Southern Movement just want to know that Pelican Publishing is going to be around, and Is there anything you can give us in a nutshell that will give us a little bit of a glimpse of what your vision for Pelican is down the road?
Well, the vision is to influence more and more people who don't know what the real facts are about Southern life, and we've had some good books come up, and we're going to have even more. And then on the issues, the worldwide issues, we want to have an effect on those. For another time, I can tell you about our effect on the Kremlin back in the Cold War, and I'll save that story for another time, too.
All right, I'm jotting down some more notes for the next time.
And we've got coming up a manuscript on the First Amendment. It has been twisted out of all kinds of shape when it says Congress shall make no law as respecting religion, and the courts are doing it all the time.
That's true.
They aren't supposed to make any law about religion, telling us that we can practice it or that we can't. They're not supposed to do either of those. So we're supposed to have full ability to practice it like we want to, where we want to, when we want to.
Well, we will certainly be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Calhoun, we want to thank you very much for being on this Pelican Pages segment with us at Dixie Broadcasting. And on behalf of myself and all of our listeners here at Dixie Broadcasting, please know that Pelican Publishing has a friend here at Dixie Broadcasting, and we just are very grateful to everything that Pelican Publishing has done and the sacrifices that you and your family have made to make Pelican what it is today. And we just look forward to many more years to come with plenty more good books coming out from Pelican.
Well, we just appreciate everything that you're doing to get the word out. There are so many people working, and we have more ways to do that now than when we first started. When we first started, the bookstores would say, I wouldn't have your books in my bookstore, and the media wouldn't have them in the media and all that. Well, those days are gone forever now.
That's great. I can tell you Miss Amy is doing a bang-up job. She makes sure that we get a copy of every new book that comes out.
She is doing a great job.
Yes, sir. Well, Dr. Calhoun, we'll look forward to having you on with us again sometime, and we want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, and may God bless you.
And Merry Christmas to all of you and to your listeners.
Thank you. God bless you.
Good night.
Folks, you've been listening to a special Pelican Pages interview here at Dixie Broadcasting with Dr. Calhoun, the president of Pelican Publishing. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes, so don't go anywhere.
Pelican Publishing Company is proud to announce a recent release of two new holiday titles. The Littlest Cowboy's Christmas is a story by author Michael Chandler that recounts a special Christmas Eve that he and his young son spent with singer-songwriter John Denver, and The Preacher's Night Before Christmas, which is the latest book in our Night Before Christmas series. This story is about a pastor and his congregation consumed by their Christmas Eve pageant, who are reminded of the true meaning of Christmas. Both of these books, along with hundreds of others, are available online at ePelican.com, or you can simply call our toll-free number at 800-843-1724. Pelican Publishing, your Southern-friendly publishing house.